This morning I want to read out of Psalm 30, and I will extol you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Now as for me, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. O Lord, by your favor you have made my mountain to stand strong. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day to come into your house with your people and sing praise to you, God. And we just want to lift you up, and we want to recognize how awesome and holy you are. And Father, I pray that as we read and we hear from your word and you speak to us, God, that we would forever give thanks to you. That our lives would never cease and our lips would never cease, Lord, to give you praise and thanks for all that you do. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would open eyes and ears and minds and hearts this morning. And, Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child could understand. Out of all people here, I understand that there's strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And as we look at this Psalm 30, I want to, the title is Forever Thanks. And I think that needs to be an attitude of our life, that we are forever giving thanks to God. What do you think? Huh? So if you want to look at your neighbor this morning and say, I'll give him forever thanks. Go ahead and declare that today. I'm going to give him forever thanks. I'm going to give thanks to God forever. Now, how many of y'all realize that many times that in the tragedies of life, or in the difficulties of life, or in the sorrows of life, those are the moments where a psalm like this is birthed? There is a propensity for us to forget about God in the good times. There is this leaning that we have that when things are going well, that we begin to think, well, I'm doing pretty good. But then when things happen that we can't understand, or when problems come, many times our attention is drawn to the fact that, wow, where do I go for help? And for the saint, our help comes from the Lord. So many a disaster, many a problem, many of a situation has driven many saints back to their knees. And this morning, as we look at this psalm and we read this and we think, man, this is a wonderful psalm. It was birthed out of great tragedy and sorrow in the life of King David. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24, and we'll look at the story behind this psalm and we'll look at what was going on in this time. It says Israel had been, they had been rebelling. They had been honoring God like they should. And there was a lot of rebellion going on in the kingdom. And David, obviously, he was a king. He was a warrior. And there was a lot of fighting going on. And it says, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel. And it incited David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. Now, in the Chronicles, it says that they give Satan the one who did this. And here's how you correlate that together, is that God allows things to happen. And God will allow Satan to do things. And God will allow us to make dumb choices in life. How many of all have lived that truth? Okay? And so what's going on here is that God is using, he's using Satan, he's using the sin in David's own heart, and he's going to use that to bring judgment on his people. Now, in Exodus 30, it tells us that it gives us restrictions in the Torah and the guidelines of the law if you're going to do a census, how to take it. So there wasn't nothing inherently sinful in David taking a census of the people, but maybe by either the method or the reason or the motivation of King David, what made this so wrong. In the census, they were to require a payment from each individual as they would go and number them, any male 20 years of age or older. And they were required to give an offering. If not, it was clear through the scripture that there would be a plague that would come upon the army. Also, we get hints in this story that David may have had a prideful reason in wanting to do this census, to be able to take note of his own army and to be able to guide and say, this is, and to be able to boast and brag about how many folks that they have in this army. And he had his mindset maybe on more of a military conquest rather than focusing on what God really expected the nation of Israel to become. For whatever reason, motivation or method of what was wrong in the census, something went wrong. The king said to Joab, the commander of the army who was with him, go about now through all the tribes of Israel from Dan to Beersheba and register the people that I may know the number of the people. So this is the command given by King David. But Joab said to the king, now may the Lord your God add to the people 100 times as many as they are, while the eyes of my lord the king still see. But why does my lord the king delight in this thing? Joab is the guy that's warning David, saying, I'm not sure this is such a great idea. Have you ever had someone in your life step in and say, you know what, I'm not really sure what you're thinking about doing is such a great idea? Anybody? How many of that was a saint in your life? Maybe it was a godly mother. Maybe it was a godly father. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a teacher. Maybe it was just a best friend. And they knew something was going on, and they knew you were about to make a decision, and they could see the dead end, but you couldn't? And they were going, stop, stop, don't go there. Don't take that job. Don't marry that person. Whoa! And you're blind. You're going to do it anyway. I mean, someone's given you good advice and you said, they don't know what they're talking about. Anybody been there? Can I have an amen or an oh me? Oh me. Sometimes that's an oh me. That's an oh me right there, right? Oh me. I've been there, done that. Nevertheless, verse 4, there's that but. Going to do it and do it anyway. Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab and against the commanders of the army. So Joab and the commanders of the army went out from the presence of the king to register the people of Israel. King David said, you may think it's a bad idea. I don't. We're doing it. And so since he is a king and he is the king of that kingdom, guess who wins that argument? The king, you know. So they go out and they go out and they take the tour and they start registering the people. Takes 9 months and 20 days. They bring this census together. Now look at verse 10. Now David's heart troubled him after he had what? Numbered the people. David's heart troubled him. The Bible says in that word trouble there that it struck him. It struck his heart. It was that moment of, uh-oh, what have I done? Anybody been there? You know, somebody told you not to do it, not to go this route, not to go to this place, and you did it anyway, and then all of a sudden it comes out and you're like, oh no, what did I do? Oh no, what did I do? We've all experienced those moments in life. We've all been there, done that. I would say that every single one of us, we've been right here where David is. Now, how do you respond when you do something that you know you shouldn't have done, even if other people have tried to tell you not to do it, but you go ahead and do it anyway, right? Because you know, well, who's going to tell me what to do? You know, I'm my own boss. I'm living my own life. And they just need to keep their nose out of my business, right? And then you do it and you go, oh man, this is awful. What have I done? This is horrible. I've messed up. David does exactly what a saint should do. So David said to the Lord. What happens when you mess up? You fess up. What happens when you mess up? You fess up. You fess up to who? To the Lord. He goes to the Lord. He cries out to the Lord. I have sinned greatly in what I have done. The problem with a lot of us is when we mess up, we don't completely fess up. We make excuses. That's one problem with generations now coming up. No one wants to accept responsibility for their actions. Here's what you got to realize in life. There are consequences to every single choice that we make. And my grandmother, Forrest Gump used to have his mama, used to tell him stuff. Well, my grandmama used to say, you make your bed, you lie in it. There's consequences to every action, and David knew that he had sinned greatly against God. This was a problem. He had, whatever it was, whether it was how he carried out the census or his motivation behind the census, it was a mistake. It was a sin. It was not the way that God wanted that to be carried out, and he recognized it and said, God, I have sinned greatly. But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very, what? Foolishly. Boy, that takes a man or a strong woman to admit that. That's most of our problem right there, is we never get to that step. Well, it's the teacher's fault. Well, it's my mom's fault, or it's my dad's fault, or it's the school's fault. It's the coach's fault. Huh? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good right now, okay? I'm going to keep going. It's somebody's fault. It's never my fault. And David says, no, I own it. I did it. I messed up. And Lord, I'm coming to you for grace. I acted like a fool. Anybody can say I've acted like a fool before? How many say, I have acted like a fool before? And what happens when you do that? Quit acting like a fool and denying it. And wise up and say, Lord, I'm wrong. Your way is true. Your way is right. I missed it this time. And I'm asking for your mercy. And I'm pleading for you to show grace to me. Now, when David arose in the morning, verse 11, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, this is David's seer, saying, go and speak to David. Thus the Lord says, I am offering you three things. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do to you. You see, even in God's mercy and his love, there are consequences to our sin. Some people think, well, you know, I've messed my life up so much, I know what I'll do. I'll just go get saved and everything will be okay. And all my problems will go away. Not so. Not true. If you come down to the altar and say, I want to give my life to Jesus, and you've messed your life up, you've made bad choices, bad mistakes, and then you ask Jesus to forgive you, and then all of a sudden, you still got to live with those consequences, and you say, well, I thought God saved me. Well, he did, but you still got to live with some consequences. How many of y'all realize that God can save you and forgive you, but you still go through the consequences of your choice? And so, though God's going to bring redemption to David, there's going to be a consequence to his sin. And there's consequences to our sin. Now here's the thing. Here's the thing that is the seriousness of our sin. Is that many times our sin just doesn't affect ourselves. You just think, well, it's my free will, I can do whatever I want to. Yeah, kinda. You can do whatever you want to, but whatever you do doesn't only affect you. Sometimes your action has an impact on someone else. Sometimes in life, we make a stupid choice, we make a foolish decision, and it affects us, and we suffer it. Sometimes I make a decision, and it affects people around me that I love and care about. That's why it's important that we make sure that we guard our house as husbands, as wives, in our workplaces, that we make the right choices so that this consequence of our sin don't trickle down and affect other people around us. That's why it's important that we do need to be praying for our people in political offices that are in power, because decisions they make can impact us. And so that's why it's important to raise up a standard to say, let's pray for all of our officials that they would seek God's will and God's way, and that they would rule the way that God would want to, because when we rule the way God wants to, it brings blessing over a people and not a cursing. Here they had the king did a sinful thing, and it's going to affect the nation. His decision. God gives him three choices. This is when he's got to take his medicine. Anybody ever hear that phrase? Boy, just take your medicine. Here it is. Here's his three choices. So Gad came to David and told him and said, "Shall 7 years of famine come to you and your land? Or will you flee for 3 months before your foes while they pursue you? Or shall there be 3 days of pestilence in your land? Now consider and see what answer I shall return to him who sent me." These are three choices. 7 years of famine, 3 months of pursuit from your enemies, or 3 days of a plague. Then David said to Gad, "I'm in great distress." That is true. Y'all have been there, right? You've been there where your heart has been so tore, and you've been so tore up that your gut, your heart, your whole body feels the weight of knowing that you have done wrong, and knowing that the consequences of your choice is about to happen. He's in great distress. Let us now fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man. He says, out of the choices I've got, I'll allow God to bring about the sentence because I trust him. Even though I know this is going to be hard, and even though I know the consequences are going to be difficult, I still would rather trust the love of God in his discipline than the evil of man. That's a good place to be. I would rather have God put out his discipline on me than my enemies. I would rather have the discipline of a loving father than the discipline of someone who cares nothing about me. Because David knew one thing, that God's mercy is true. How did he know that? Because he had messed up and received grace a few times over in his life. How many of you all have messed up and received grace a few times over in your life? How many of y'all realize that even though there is severe, there is consequences and there is penalties for my sin, when you lay it all out to God and you trust him to bring his justice upon you, that you can make it so much greater than if a man were to bring his sentence out upon you? Because the enemy is unmerciful where God is merciful. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning until the appointed time, and 70,000 men of the people from Dan to Beersheba died. 70,000 men in his army died. Severe consequence. And when the angel stretched out his hand toward Jerusalem to destroy it, the Lord relented from the calamity and said to the angel who destroyed the people, "It is enough. Now relax your hand." And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And the threshing floor here would be the place eventually where the temple would be built. And then David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking down the people and said, "Behold, it is I who have sinned and it is I who have done wrong. But these sheep, what have they done? Please let your hand be against me and against my father's house." David had gotten to the point that he saw that his sin had brought consequences on his own people and he couldn't take it anymore. And finally he cries out to God and says, "Lord, it's me that sinned. I'm the one who messed up. Your sheep, these sheep, they didn't mess up. It's me. Please bring your judgment on me and my house. I can't handle this any longer." That's how a man of God responds. Ownership of sin. Confessing. Coming before God. Saying, "Lord, please, please, I beg you." Some of you have been in that place before, haven't you? "Lord God, please forgive me. Please, God, forgive me." Some of you may be in that moment right now. "Lord God, forgive me. I've messed up. I've done wrong. And innocent people are now being affected. Lord God, forgive me." So Gad came to David that day and said to him, "Go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." And David went up according to the word of Gad, just as the Lord had commanded. You will notice in David's life, when David did as the Lord commanded, that's when it went well. Every time that David did as David thought and David wanted, that's when it didn't go so well. How many of y'all realize that when you do it God's way, that's when it goes well? When you do it your way, that's when you mess it up. When you think you begin knowing more than God, that's when you get off detour. Do it God's way. He does what God told him to do. And Araunah looked down and saw the king and his servant crossing over to David, said, "To buy the threshing floor from you in order to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be held back from the people." And Araunah said to David, "Let my lord the king take and offer up what is good in his sight. Look, the oxen for the burnt offering, the threshing sledges, and the yokes of the oxen for the wood. Everything, O king, Araunah gives to the king." And Araunah said to the king, "May the Lord your God accept you." However, the king said to Araunah, "No, but I will surely buy it from you for a price, for I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God, which cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. Thus the Lord was moved by prayer for the land, and the plague was held back from Israel. What happened? He goes and he has this piece of land, and it's the threshing floor, and it's going to be eventually where the temple is built. And he buys this piece of land, and Araunah offers to just give it to him, and he says, "No, I'm not going to offer anything that costs me nothing, because I can't give an offering to the Lord that's not mine." You see, I can't give your offering. I can't drop your offering to the Lord. I can't offer your prayer to God. I can't offer your heart to God. I can't offer your sacrifices to God. I can't bring your tithe to God. I can only bring my tithe to God. I can only bring my offering to God. I can only bring my heart to God. I can only bring my brokenness to God. I can only bring what God has done in me to him. I can't use your stuff. He says, "No, I've got to buy this so that I can offer it to the Lord." And it's on this offering, this burnt offering, that God sees the pleasing sacrifices as All throughout the Old Testament, we see the importance of that sacrifice. And he stays the plague and he stops it. And Psalm 30 is birthed from this experience. And he says in verse 1, I will extol you, O Lord. That means I will actively praise you. I will praise you, O Lord, for you have lifted me up. I was in a pit, but you lifted me up. It's like drawing water out of a well. You reached down and you grabbed me and you raised me up. And for that, I'm going to praise you. And you have not let my enemies rejoice over me. How many of you all have been in a moment where you think, man, this is awful? You cry out to God. He brings deliverance and he brings mercy. What do? You do as David did. You sing a song. So, well, I can't sing very well. That's okay. You sing it anyway. I sing real well in my car with nobody in it. And sing to God. Sing praises to his name. And he says, O Lord, my God. Notice the progression here. I'll sing praise to you, O Lord. Now he says, O Lord, my God. I cried to you for help, and you what? Healed me. For the Lord our God is our healer. Look to God for healing. Look to God for your help. He is the one that brings us his mercy. He says, O Lord, you've brought me up from Sheol. You have kept me alive that I would not go down to the pit. I felt I was about to die, but you delivered me. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones. And that includes all the other saints. Let's sing. Let's give thanks forever. We need to have forever thanks. There needs to be praise on our lips always as a child of God. What do you think? Sing to the Lord, you godly ones. Sing to the Lord, you saints. If you're a believer today in Jesus Christ, guess what? You are a saint of God. So sing praises to our God. We sing to him. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. And isn't that so true? His disciplined hand is swift. But the surety of his hand that he has on us is forever. And he says, and a shout of joy. Weeping may last for a night, but a shout of joy comes where? In the morning. How many of y'all been at that midnight stage where it seems like all hell's broken loose and life has crumbled and you're in despair and it seems like life is dark and there's no hope? And all of a sudden, the sun breaks forth. And we're talking about the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, who comes in and steps into our situation. And he brings a new day. And that joy, that morning may last for a night. But I'm telling you, there's joy that comes in the morning. Some of you right now, you may be in the night. But hear me. Joy comes in the morning. You may seem like there's no hope. I'm telling you, joy comes in the morning. You keep your face turned to the Lord God Almighty. Now as for me, verse 6, I said in my prosperity, I'll never be moved. This is the pride of David. Pride comes before the fall. He thought he was something. Thought he was great. Any of y'all ever get to that point where you think you're all that? Like you made yourself to be who you are. That you don't even need God. Man, you're so great, you don't even need God anymore. Be very careful, be very dangerous when prideful arrogance replaces devotion to God. Oh Lord, by your favor you made my mountain to be stand strong, and then you hid your face, and I was dismayed. This is where you know that David had a heart for God. Because you see, a lost person doesn't mind or even know when God hides his face. But a child of God, you don't want his face to be hid from you. right? Because we know that in the face of God is where our hope is. That in His presence is where we always want to be. That we look to Him for everything. And that we don't want God to be displeased with how we've lived or what we've done or what we said or what we thought or who we are. And he begins crying out to God and kind of throws up some arguments and says, well, Lord, you know, what profit is there if I go down to the pit? This is verse 9. And will the dust praise you? Will it declare your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, verse 10, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. This is the cry out to grace, the cry out to mercy, the cry out to forgiveness, the cry out that says, Lord, I've blown it. I've missed it. I've had problems. I did wrong. Be gracious to me. I don't know about you, but I need God's grace in my life. I need God's grace in my life. You have turned me, for me, my what? My mourning into what? Dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. The sackcloth of basically a contrite heart, a crushed spirit. And God gives a clothing of gladness. You see, this is greater clothing than David ever wore. And David was a king. And he lived in king's palaces. He had the best at that time that money could buy. He had the best house that could be built. He wore the nicest clothes that could be built. And I'm telling you, there's something greater than what this world has to offer. I want to wear the clothes of gladness. That he can take the tears of my face and my heart, and he can take my mourning, and he can turn those into dancing. The world can't do that. Your stuff can't do that. Your car can't fix that. Your house doesn't provide that. Your clothes do not cover that. Only but God. Only God. And my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. How many of y'all realize we have to have some forever thanks? That we thank Him forever until the day we die on this earth, I will give thanks to God. And it won't stop when I die because I will continue on giving thanks forever. This is an aspect that we can begin now that will take us all through eternity. And forever and ever and ever we'll give thanks. Because when we die and we go to heaven, we'll have but one to thank, and that is the Lord. And we'll sing praises to Him, and we'll live for Him. We'll rejoice with Him, and we'll be in the presence of our great King. It'll be a wonderful day. So I don't know about you, but we got Thanksgiving coming up. And we're going to be starting talking about Thanksgiving. There is one I know who is worthy of our thanks and our praise. And He is the Lord. This morning, maybe you just need to come to the altar during invitation and just give thanks to God today. Could we open up this altar for an altar of thanks? Maybe there's some things that's went on in your life that you just you've forgotten about and you just want to give Him thanks. And let's just come to the altar and let's give thanks. Let's pray over these Christmas shoe baskets, some of you. Just come up, a Christmas tree full of presents underneath their tree. This is the only thing they're going to get. And their little faces are going to beam with gratitude over what's in this box. Never underestimate the power of a simple gift that God can do through His saints. What do you need to give thanks for today? Some of you right now, you're in the midnight hour. You need to come and call upon Him. Some of you are in denial and you're not owning your sin. You're still blaming people. And today you need to say, no, it's me, God. It's my problem. It's my sin. I've done it. God, be merciful to me and throw yourself upon His grace. So wherever you're at this morning and whatever God's dealing with you, may this be a time of response to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this morning. We thank You, God, that You are a God who hears us. We thank You, God, that You are God, even when we disobey, that You still remain true to Your covenant. And we thank You, Lord, that Your anger is but for a moment, but Your mercy's for a lifetime. I thank You, God, that we can receive grace today and mercy today. And Lord, there's some this morning that they're still hiding or they're running and in denial of their sin. And I pray, God, that today they step out and own it. There's some today who's went through the morning and now they have a time of rejoicing and they just need to come up here and just give You thanks. There's some this morning that need to know You as Lord and Savior. They've never given their life to Jesus and they want to say, I want to be a Christian. I want to give my life to Christ this morning. Whatever you need to do.